Just don't help up front.
Up close?
Sure.
Got it. All right. Still recording. Let's open the work session for the December 5th town board meeting. Sorry, I just got in. What do we got first on it?
Well, we don't have any work session.
I was going to say, the work session items I put on didn't seem to make it there.
All right, well, you take it away.
So HVAC system. As an FYI, proposal for the exhaust fan vent motor, we had to act on that today. That seized up on us this morning. So right now, our boiler for the east side of the building is down. Replacement part was being overnighted. We'll have it tomorrow morning. So it's still on there. It will end up costing us a little more simply because they had to overnight the part and we had to pay for an emergency service call this morning.
That's a 2884?
No, that's a 763. The first proposal in the attachments. Sorry.
Okay, no, that's all right.
Yeah, so that's the 763 one. Okay. So the blower motor on the roof, that would be for the west end of the building, the rooftop unit that's right above here. The bearings rattling in it. I'd rather replace it proactively than post so I would like to get that one ordered right away. That's a pretty big unit. It's a variable frequency drive for three phase motor, so that is why it's kind of a pricey.
Didn't we buy one last year for the other, for the same part?
No, that was the last year we had a refrigerant leak in the AC unit. The little exhaust fan vent motor we replaced last year on boiler number one.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's the same. The exhaust fan motor, apparently they got 11, 12-year service life on them, and the bearings wear out in them.
That's 12 years?
Yeah.
It's amazing you got that down.
The other issue that we've been having is intermittent, and that is with the Carrier iView control system. So we had Carrier in here week before last, because we were locked out of it. We couldn't get into it, we couldn't log into it, so we couldn't control any of the settings in the building. Thought it was potentially a network problem, like maybe a port on our network switch or something like that, because it just wasn't finding the IP address for the iView controller. Had Q's Tech come out, traced and tested all the Cat5 cables going to the two rooftop units, the boilers, back to the iView back to the switch, and all the connections were fine. So then we called Carrier in, and the actual iView unit itself had lost its program. So it wasn't, nothing was in there. So that Carrier, luckily enough, had a backup. They save everything off-site as a backup for our program. Loaded it back on. I tried to log in yesterday and got the same message, couldn't find the IP address. Went to log back in today and it let me in. So I don't know exactly what's going on with that piece of equipment, but
is it a piece of equipment or is it a piece of software?
It's an actual processor. Okay. It's essentially like a computer, a little mini computer. It's an actual processor. I don't know where we go with that at this point in time. If we kind of wait and stay awake and see approach on it, or if I ask them to just get a, give us a proposal to put a new iView controller in. I guess it depends on if it keeps happening. If it keeps happening, I think we probably got to put a new controller. I don't know what else to do.
And how critical is it when it does go down?
Everything seemed to be running as far as holding temperatures by the thermostat, but we couldn't change anything. So like Tony had a event in this room on Saturday before, I guess two Saturdays before Thanksgiving, and because we couldn't access the controller, we couldn't program it so that the heat came on and this, the rooftop unit came on, so it was kind of chilly in here. It was 58 degrees. Because that's what the setting is at when we're not here. So we're probably going to, my gut feeling is we're going to end up spending a little bit of money on that if we keep having these issues with it.
So how much money do you think we've spent or given to Town Mechanical over the course of the last year or so?
I don't know off the top of my head, and I don't want to give you the wrong answer. I will say this. We do have a service contract with them. We signed a 5-year service contract with them, so it's not like we're given no-bid work.
I was just wondering if we should be...
We've signed a 5-year service contract with them back in 2017, I think it was. It was when you were, it was like...
2 years in?
Yeah, a year or two in, yeah.
Okay. So it's a clunky system.
It is.
As long as there's a service contract or something,
we've got a service contract for our HVAC system in the building with them. So we're not doing anything outside of our procurement.
No, and then probably to where he's going is it are we reaching a point in time when we're spending so much in maintenance that we might start looking at replacement?
So
from an efficiency standpoint and from a maintenance standpoint.
So here is my thought process on that. 2006, we had, or 2008, we had a new roof put on this building. Had a 15-year warranty on it. Rolled rubber roof life expectancy is about 15 years. Obviously, we're coming up on that in the next 3 or 4 years, which also happens to coincide with when the bond
for
this building is paid off. So when the bonds for this building is paid off, I think it would be appropriate to look at a redo of the HVAC system and putting another roof on this building. We've already had a few leaks. They've been under warranty, so they haven't cost us anything. But with that being said, once we're out of warranty, I don't know if we want to be paying. I mean, I would say about once a year we have Firestone in here to do a warranty repair on a leak. None of them have been major, just a drip here and there, but I would think that would be the ideal time to look at an HVAC overhaul.
Well, and maybe even keep a list of a capital improvement.
Oh, yeah.
Because the bond, we're paying a year on it, but it's
significant.
It's significant. It's a significant part of our budgeting. Mm-hmm. Year over year, and I think even if you had a robust capital improvement layout, it would still
be less than what our bond payment is on this. So
right.
It'll probably be a situation where we'll do a bond for capital improvements on this building, but it'll be significantly less than the bond
from when we
bought it and renovated it. So, but it's still 3 or 4 years out.
Yep.
Before we do that, so kind of.
And I'll back to maintenance for a second. Does that service contract say we have to go with Town Mechanical?
It doesn't. But my experience with mechanical equipment like this is you.
Okay, and you're the engineer.
People that know it.
People. If you got somebody that knows the system and is working on the system and maintaining the system, it's a.
I don't think we've gone overboard with. Repairs.
No, we've had a refrigerant leak, not last summer, but the summer before, in the rooftop unit on that end of the building. We had some actuators, which are, they're a couple hundred bucks a piece. I mean, the nice thing about Town is now that they know our system, they know where they are. So they're not.
Search.
You can spend a whole lot of money removing ceiling tiles, trying to find the actuators for each each zone in the building,
sure.
And they've got to figure it out now, so where they are. So,
all I was mentioning, thinking of, is if these expenses continue with the HVAC, at least maybe we should reach out to 4 or 5 companies. And
I would at least absolutely get an idea once our service contract with Town is done, I would love to do it. I mean, it's time consuming, and I mean, my feeling on it is you sign a service contract with somebody, They do your annual maintenance. They're who discovered that we had a bearing going in our blower motor on the rooftop unit in this end of the building.
But I'll tell you, from a residential standpoint, you have a service contract with somebody. They come out, they can say your blower motor's broken. They give you a quote. You don't like that quote. Just because you have that service contract doesn't mean that you're just going to pay the bill. You're going to call a couple other companies and have them come out and give you a quote. I mean, a couple of these are going to be expensive, and you just mentioned another one that might come up, so that's all I'm
saying. Well, the carrier one is, so our contract with Town does not cover the control unit. That's carrier proprietary software, so we don't really have any other, unless we want to buy a whole new system. We're with carrier because it's proprietary software, so that's kind of...
I just wanted to have it on the record that, you know, it's something as these expenses continue, we might want to think about just reaching out and getting a quote.
Yep,
I can't see it hurting. And if Town Mechanical is still the best price because they know where everything is, let's stay with what we have.
Yeah. I'm not opposed to it. I mean, it's just a matter of,
timing
of it. Yeah, the timing of it, I guess, is the way to say it.
So that should be fixed tomorrow.
Yeah, that part should come in over. It'll be overnighted. They'll have it tomorrow morning and send a tech rate over to put it in.
Okay.
So it's not like that end of the building doesn't have heat in it, because the rooftop unit will kick on when it senses that there isn't enough heat in the building from the radiator. The rooftop units obviously are much less efficient than the hot water heat in the baseboards. So
is that what we're hearing working right now at home?
Probably. So, with that being said, that's... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
You hearing that?
I don't necessarily hear Hoff.
You don't hear
him? I think you're losing it, Joe. So that's where we're at from an HVAC standpoint. I think it just comes with... I mean, quite frankly... We got four units in this building that are all 11, 12 years old that, we all know the life expectancy of stuff nowadays. So next, let's go into the Q-Stec proposals. So we have two proposals from Q-Stec for the server. We have one for $37,821, which you'll see is the amount of in the resolution.
That you're recommending.
That I'm recommending. We have another one for $34,375. So these are actually the second and third quotes we've gotten from them, because the first quote had, it was quite frankly... over $40,000, and I felt like it might be oversizing a few things. So I asked them to sharpen their pencil, and they came back with a quote for $34,000 and change, which was going to a Office 365 subscription for every user in the building. The disadvantage with that is that it would be a $6,000 annual subscription fee, which I didn't really like. So I said, well, let's go back to the drawing board here. I don't really like the idea of having to spend $6,000 on a subscription every year. I'd rather stay with a standalone Exchange server like we currently have so we can avoid that cost, that $6,000 every year. And that's where they came back with the $37,821 number. This includes all labor, equipment, materials to get this thing up and running. We really haven't spent any money on our server in over 6 years. It's been a rock solid unit. It's a unit that Syracuse Technologies built, just like they're building this one. We've had zero problems with it. We haven't had to replace any components. We haven't had a slowdown with it. We haven't had any problems. It has been a great server. We will take the server that we currently use in the building, and we'll move that to their offices as a remote backup. So they'll essentially every day, the server that's located in their office will clone itself to the server that's in the building, so that if our server does ever go down, we can bring the unit that's located in their office to our building, plug it in, and be up and running in hours. Our current backup server is about 10 years old. So we all know the life expectancy of computers is around 6-7 years. We're running on borrowed time with it, and on top of that, we have the issue of Microsoft not supporting the Small Business Exchange software platform that we're currently running on after the first of the year. Hence why I think it's important that we move on this sooner rather than later, so that we minimize the amount of time we're without updates from Microsoft.
Right. We budgeted for this.
We did.
I was going to ask, how much did we budget?
So we budgeted, so I was just talking to Dave about this earlier, we budgeted $35 for the server, because at the time when we were doing the budget, I only had the quote for $34,375. Mm-hmm. Then we budgeted $19,000 for new computers. We need to buy 19 computers. We don't need 19 new monitors. We need 19 new towers. We have more than enough money in that line to cover the $2,821 that the server quote is over to go to a standalone loan exchange server rather than a cloud-based server. Now, the estimate on the new towers that we need is around $660 a piece. We need 19 of them, so we should be more than covered. That's one of the RFPs that I've been working on this week, and I'll be sending out Monday. I'm going to give Cusetech a chance to quote it. I'm going to get Dell to quote it, and there's another vendor over in East Syracuse that I'm going to get to quote the purchase of the 19 new towers for the building.
Now,
good work.
Is this basically when you log on to the Town of Lysander, you know, the email program? Is that what this, one of the things, is that what is
that's part of this? Yep, that's part of this.
So is that state of the art, that email program?
Well, no, Outlook? Small Business Exchange that we're running, you know, it's Outlook. It's Outlook and it's
part of an Office package.
Yeah, it's part of a Microsoft right. Office package. That will be upgraded as with the new with the new operating system on the surveyor, will update our Outlook platform.
It seems cumbersome. And like Pete still can't get on. I can't send attachments from home all of a sudden.
So if you guys ever have problems with that stuff, please let me know, because we'll get a trouble ticket in and we'll have Syracuse Technologies.
They're pretty quick on
that. They're really quick on that stuff.
Right. It's just harder for me because their hours tend to coincide with my hours, it seems.
I had it.
So their for other people,
their tech support is there till 6 p.m.
All right.
So if you need, we can set something up for after hours, so you're not taking a phone call during work. We can set this up for, you know, a 5 or 6 or 6 o'clock contact call to you.
Right.
And they actually have a remote login, so if you're working, if you're at home or at your laptop, wherever you're at, through their website, you can allow them to log into your system and do any updates that need to happen, or make any changes that need to happen.
So what is the date? When are we planning to get all of this tech work done?
I would love to have it done right in the beginning of January. That would be the goal.
Because in that case, I wouldn't want them to do everything they need to do for me and then go do all this over again.
Well, no, your login and password and everything will stay the same. So none of that will change. And the platform is actually held on the server. So when you log in, you'll just see the new platform.
And just FYI, I gave up. And we did do a ticket on it, and we did it a remote server and everything, and they couldn't fix it. So I use a Mac at home. That's probably the problem.
I use my phone.
Okay, just
and it worked
just your
fine
phone.
For
and then all
years.
Of a sudden, just
and then it just.
I don't even use it. It happened to me. I got sick of dealing with it. So remote access has been an issue.
Okay.
With our email,
I can certainly ask them to. Look into it. I mean, if people are—I haven't had any problems on my phone, but
stop bragging about your phone. You always brag about your phone.
Well, you know, you guys keep buying that Apple crap, and
I'm Android.
Oh, okay.
You're an Android?
Yeah, Androids.
I wouldn't buy an Apple.
Apple?
Yeah, that's the way to go. The Android is...
I have a Macintosh laptop, but... Yeah.
What did you use before that? A stone tablet?
Wow. So, Android is so much better.
Obviously, we'll get for it. Emailing, it's superior.
So the other thing that's on here is our Qstech hasn't raised our rate since we.
Sounds like a duck.
Since we signed our initial contract with them 7 years ago, they've been doing our data backup, all our service stuff for the same rate for 7 years. Obviously, after 7 years, they're like, "Hey, guys, we kind of need to raise the rates a little bit." But they're raising them $100 a month. I really don't feel that's a gouge. I've talked to Van Buren. I've talked to the Village of Baldwinsville. They're paying a similar rate for the services that they have. My feeling is Qstech has given the people in this building pretty good service, and we haven't had any problems. And when we do have a problem, if they need to come out here, typically they're here within an hour and a half, which to me is pretty good service. I like working with them. It is professional services, so we don't have to do an RFP every time we renew it. We're paying similar rates to the neighboring similar rates to what the neighboring municipalities are. I mean, my recommendation is that we stick with them simply because they've given us good service. They know our system. And it's still from a data backup and a service standpoint a pretty good deal at $550 a month. Mm-hmm.
Does that contract? And I was skimming through it. I didn't see, and I didn't have a chance to go through this in detail. Does it give us an opportunity in year one, two and a half to break the contract, or are we locked in?
Motion G.
So we get a 20% discount if we sign the 3-year contract.
Are you looking at it, Mom?
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that question.
I'm looking at the right one. I'm not sure. So. Pricing rates.
That's it.
Period of agreement.
I didn't see anything.
Mm-hmm. Period of 3 years. We'll continue on a month May, after which we'll continue on a month and can be terminated in writing with 30 days advance notice by either party after the initial 36-month term. So no, there is not an out.
After the initial 36-month?
Yes.
So the first year?
It's a 3-year contract. And by signing a 3-year contract, they're giving us a 20% discount off of what their rate normally would be.
And if it's such an egregious thing where we feel we must leave them, we'll just have to buy out the remainder of the contract, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, that's from a professional services standpoint, we're not required to do an RFP every time.
No, in my 4 years being here, and, remember we had Dan Bicardo as our liaison for technical issues. There's a history with them. They've proven themselves. They're not looking to gouge us with a huge increase. It's a company that knows us, similar to your point with Tom Mechanical
They know our system.
They know our systems. I'm not saying that long term. And this isn't really long term, but I mean we could ask for a 2-year, I guess, if it was such an issue. But they've really got a great track record.
I don't see it as an issue.
Yeah,
not an issue.
I mean, and given where we are with our technology. With the end of the year quickly approaching, this is something that I'd prefer that we put to bed.
Okay. That's the long and short of it is they've given us good service, just like Joe said.
If it was questionable at all, I'm the first one to start looking, but I'm not.
I mean, just the fact that most 90% of the time they don't show up on site.
They work remote.
They can work remotely and fix any problems that we have. I think they've been on site less than six times this year, maybe four or five times total that they've had to come.
And a couple, or I think once it was a request to look at something.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's not. But when they do have to come on site, like I said, typically they got somebody here. If it's an emergency and we're like when we're the IP address wasn't showing up for the iView control for the carrier HVAC system, they were here in an hour.
So, but what I would recommend as an outgoing supervisor is that 3 years is plenty of time to start talking with the neighboring municipalities and maybe even the county. Because at one time we were talking about the school district coming in and being our IT department, or BOCES.
Yeah, BOCES is who does the school district stuff.
That's. So, but you know, that's because it's going to be so involved, and you know, but that might be a nice intermunicipal cooperative effort.
Yeah, I mean the big thing with IT is if your cooperative effort is great, but what are you really saving? Because you don't necessarily, unless you want to go to a cloud-based system, which is where you have an annual subscription, you're still going to have a server in-house that's still going to need updates and management.
Yeah, your hardware costs are your hardware.
Well, no, I was going to say your management and operating cost. So if Van Buren's got a server, the Village has got a server, and the Lysander's got a server, you're still managing three servers.
But maybe if you don't need three servers.
Well, the only way to go without servers is to go to a cloud-based system, which has an annual subscription.
So what's wrong with the subscription? I'm trying, because we're going to have to still update the servers every so many years. And
well, let's look at let's do the math on. So it's $6,000 a year. You know, Microsoft is going to get us for a few dollars every year, and subscription cost increases.
But rates are going to go up too, aren't they?
Rates on what?
With Syracuse Technologies and...
We're signing a three-year contract with them to keep it the same.
And then 3 years, they're going to...
Well, they went 7 years without raising it, so that's not necessarily true. So what I'm getting at is, if we do the math on that, so we get rid of the server, you still have to have a switch, which is managed. You still have to have technical support. You still have to have a firewall on site. There's still things that you need to have on site that's hardware component based that isn't covered by the Microsoft subscription. I mean, you can see just by the proposals. We go from $34,785 to $37,821, and the $34,000 number has a $6,000 a year longevity cost. So over a period of the life expectancy of the server, of 7 years, you spent $42,000 in subscription costs compared to spending an extra $2,285 in cost to get a standalone server. So that was my one time $2,000 and change increase rather than $42,000 over the life of a server. To me, that was a no-brainer. But I mean, hey,
you had 3 years to look at that. And what I was thinking about the school district is that having a single server big enough to serve.
You still have to have a cloud-based access. You could have a single server at BOCES, but you still have to have some kind of
right.
Yeah, some kind of connection there. So it's there's going to be some.
Yeah.
Cost
so in 3 years, who knows? You know, look at it.
Yeah,
for right now, I mean, I like what you propose. I think we're ready.
The $42,000 to me was the deal breaker.
Yeah,
I mean, 7 years on the life of a server. If we spend $6,000 a year, that's $42,000. That's a big number.
Yep,
that's a big number. So to me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, it's not that subscriptions are bad. Like, if you wanted to have a $100 subscription for Office 365 at your house, and, you know, you're the type of person that likes to have the latest and greatest software on your machine, I'm still running a version of Office at my house from 2008, I think. Works fine. And I just don't see a reason to buy another version of Office.
Aside from you, though, I think you're the only one in this building that probably maxes out the capacity of a desktop as far as RAM.
Oh, absolutely.
And memory and any Office solutions. I mean, for the most part, what we're doing here,
Word,
emails,
Excel.
Word, Excel, and that's it. I mean, the software packages are so, I wish they'd come down to a skinny down version of something that.
I mean, the capabilities of Office with Access, Excel, Word, PowerPoint, it's a really powerful program. And it's been a really powerful program for 15, 20 years now. Yeah, they upgrade it every year and they add more features and stuff, but it's still the.
When's the last time you guys saw a PowerPoint presentation from Dina? Or from anybody in this building except Al or myself?
Or Dave. Or Dave.
It's basically those three offices that even use PowerPoint.
Right.
I'm the only one that uses Access.
Yeah. And that's Excel on steroids, basically.
Yep.
So, yeah. You know, great research. And you've been working on this for
a couple months.
And I know you've reached out to some future board members.
Yeah, I talked to Jeff, Mr. Kurianakis, over the past week. He had some questions that I got responses from QSTEC. His questions were about non-disclosure. And, you know, they have that with all their employees, where the data was stored, how we get it back. Our data at their office, in addition to being on the clone server, is also backed up through a cloud service, which the cost is included in that $550 monthly cost for the cloud backup of our data, which is a secondary
backup. So if we blew up and they blew up, it'd still be on the cloud.
We still have... That data still exists. We can still retrieve it, get it back and be up and running again.
Cool.
So, So he asked about: is it a 2 month, 2 hours a month? Is it 2 hours rolling? So they don't roll over. You get 2 hours a month. If you don't use it, it doesn't roll over. But. It's not very often that we exceed 2 hours in a month for service with them. So, I mean, those were, he thought the switch might be overpriced, but after we did some further research, it looks like the switch is actually pretty fairly priced. There's a little confusion in one number on the proposal. It was $5,200 for the setup of the server and the switch. And he was thinking that was the cost of the switch, and it's the cost of the switch is actually $2,750, which after doing some research on what a 48-port switch is, pretty good price. They range anywhere from $2,000 to $4,000, depending on what system you're going to operate. So, so we got answers to his questions. Like I said, I already beat him up once from a price standpoint, got him down under the $40,000 they originally came in with just by changing a few items. And from a hardware standpoint, the labor is what it is. When you look at what their labor rates are in the actual service contract, it's for professional service, it's really not horrible.
Yeah. All right.
With that, the only other updates I have is there was two other grants that Tony, Amy, and I identified today that we're going to go after for the Parks Department. There's a U.S. Fish and Wildlife grant opportunity for tree canopy, so essentially tree plantings, tree maintenance, that we're going to go after in the park. And then there's another electrical vehicle grant opportunity through the DEC that we're going to go after to replace, hopefully replace our golf cart in the park that is over 20 years old, and go to an electric golf cart.
We also got our application into Cornell to see if they would consider us for a master plan study. The plan that I'm going to mention tonight, the last time we had a master plan was 2002. So
A lot of things have happened in that park since, and to our population since 2002. And sometimes, and I'm a big believer in having somebody from the outside take a look at your assets, because they can actually see the forest through the trees.
Yeah, having a different perspective on
yep.
it.
Yep.
So that's all I had tonight.
Anybody how much else is for the grant for the trees?
So there's $1.5 million available.
Sure.
But it's a national grant. Right. So
we're going for it all.
max award on that one, I believe, was $70,000.
Okay.
But
still, that's a good chunk.
Yeah. If we can get anything, it's something. You know. And there's no match on that one.
More than
there
we budget.
What do we get now?
There is a match on the electric vehicle grant, but you know, it could be a gem car. Yeah, it could be a gem.
You got that, two gem cars. Oh, which the one's still working?
That was a crazy program.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So it's the same program. It's essentially the same program, but there's a 20% match on it. So. And we wouldn't be looking at a gem car. We'd be looking at like an electric golf cart, utility type vehicle for the park, which would qualify under that.
And a electric charge station.
Oh no, there's two separate grants.
Okay,
and you can go for them both at the same time. So there's a grant for a charging station, and a grant for electric vehicles. So we can go for we can go for both of them at the same time. And we'll see what happens. I mean it you can't get anything if you don't try, right?
Absolutely.
All right.
We've been trying for four years and doing a good job. Keep it up, Al. Good job.
Sure.
I don't have anything else to add to the work session. Do you guys have any questions on any of the agenda items?
We covered all of my questions.
Okay. Awesome. So why don't we adjourn why don't we recess the work session for 15 minutes until the regular meeting starts?
Perfect.
Awesome.
Rearrange the furniture.
So what had you get working on?
Citizens of
the community. It's a good one. And an easy one to get. All you
gotta
do is.
All right, I need a pen that works.
You want to get a pen?
Good-looking pen. Great weight pen.
Not bad. Thank you, Tony. Just goes by so fast, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, my wife does other, you know, cooking, and we transported everything to the daughter's house.
I'll put this one over.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Joe, you want to pause that?
Yeah. Please. Before I remind you.